time is 3:06 p.m. at District Again's tape number four, the videotape deposition of Mr. Emmanuel's posting.
Mr. Goldstein, do I understand correctly that your testimony was that you were posting and later linking to other sites that were posting DECSS because that posting and that linking was a part of your journalistic story?
That was part of the story, yes, that's correct.
And when did you write the story?
Oh, well, the initial story was written, I believe it was early November on our site, and that was the story that described the development, which at the time we had only sketchy details about, but we reported what we knew. And then later we became part of the story, and that's when we started writing a lot more about it.
You didn't write about it every day, did you?
No.
Okay. Now, how long have you been, how long were you posting?
I'm sorry, how long was I posting?
Posting DECSS on the 2600 site.
I think we first posted it in late November.
And you posted it in late November right up until the court injunction?
As soon as the court injunction happened, I believe it was January 20th, that's when we took it down.
So you were posting for close to 2 months?
Yes.
Yeah.
24 hours a day?
Well, it's just up, yeah.
Excuse me, can I hear the end of it? The answer was, I think we first posted it in late November. Question, you posted it late November right up until the court injunction. Answer, yes. As soon as the court injunction happened, I believe it was January 20th, that's when we took it off. So you were posting for close to 2 months? Answer, yes. 24 hours a day? Answer, well, it's just up.
Can you tell me why that posting for 2 months every day, 24 hours a day, was necessary to your story?
Well, it's every story on our site is up 24 hours a day constantly until the end of time. So it's not like we're sitting there saying, you know, it's up 24 hours day and night. It was a story, and people continue to have an interest in that story, and that interest continues till today.
Can you tell us why posting every day was necessary to the story?
Well, as I've said, we did not post it every day. We posted it once, and it stayed up.
You didn't take it down, did you?
No, it's one action, posting it. We took it down, and we were ordered to take it down.
Yeah, but you could have taken it down any day within that two-month period, couldn't you, if you wanted to?
If we wanted to, yes, but
okay.
we didn't.
Why not?
Because we felt it was right to have it on our site. We felt it was part of the story.
But I'm trying to understand why the words DECSS on your site for 2 months was necessary to the story.
Because that is what the story centers around. For instance, if the story is centered around the picture, we'd show the picture. And this was the picture. This was the story that everybody was focused on. To take it down without a court order would have been wrong in a journalistic sense.
But you weren't writing a new story about DECSS every day, were you?
No, and we didn't post it every day. We posted it once.
And you didn't take it down for 2 months, right?
We didn't take anything down.
So that everything on your... Strike that. Have you been linking to other sites that post DECSS?
Well, as I said earlier, I believe we had links up from the beginning. That is, before we even had it up on our site. I'd have to check to make absolutely certain about that, but the vast majority of links started coming in to us after the injunction was granted.
And you've been linking to many other sites posting DECSS ever since?
We posted a list of what we had received, and this went on for, I think, a few weeks until we just got overwhelmed with it, and we had to do other things, so we stopped updating it.
So you've been linking to many other sites containing DECSS for about 5 months, at least?
That's about right, yes.
Every day?
Well, as I said, we don't take things down.
That's because you decided not to, I gather.
Mm-hmm.
And why was linking to over 100 or more sites that post DECSS necessary to your journalistic story?
Because it was, that was part of the story. The story was that hundreds of sites were springing up and showing support in various ways, all of which had one thing in common, that they were posting the source of this program. And we thought that was the story right there, that was something that deserved attention, to show just how many people were out there and what they were doing.
And it was necessary to the story to show that every day for 5 months?
It was the story, and the stories stay up. So the story will be up forever.
I see.
That's how it works.
Well, is it true that every story you write in your magazine is vibrant and alive every single day for the rest of eternity?
No, I wouldn't.
Or just your life?
Are you referring to the magazine or to the website?
Website.
I wouldn't say that they all keep interest as long as this one has, no.
But if you didn't write a story every day about DECSS, why would you have to keep linking to DECSS every day, 24 hours a day for 5 months?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
You don't understand?
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
Could you read it back to the witness?
Mm-hmm. But if you didn't write a story every day about DECSS, why would you have to keep linking to DECSS every day, 24 hours a day, for 5 months?
I'm not sure if you're saying that by our writing stories that we're perpetuating the need to link. Is that your point?
No, you weren't writing stories every day for 5 months.
We wrote stories whenever something new happened.
What?
We wrote stories whenever something new happened in the case.
But every single day, whether you wrote stories or didn't about DECSS, you linked to other sites containing DECSS for over 5 months.
As I've said, the story that we wrote that had all the links remains up, because that was a story, I believe it was written in January, and that has the list of all the links, and that's just there, just like the story we may have written last week will be there in 5 months.
But it stays there because you don't take it down, isn't
mm-hmm.
that right?
We don't take down our stories, no.
Oh, you take them down when a court orders you to?
When a court orders us to take something down, we take it down.
Okay. Is there any other reason that you can give me for why this posting and linking that we've been discussing are part of your journalistic story? You don't have to repeat anything that you've said already. I'm asking if you know any other reasons or have any other reasons for saying that.
I think I've covered it all.
I see. Will you keep linking to the websites posting DECSS, even if the pace of technological change allows rapid transmission of movies over the internet?
I object to that. You're asking me to speculate.
My answer is yes, because it's irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
And do you plan to keep linking to websites posting DECSS, even if the pace of technological change makes the storage of movies on a hard drive much easier? It takes much less space.
I object to the witness. I object to the question. I don't think it calls for speculation.
I would say the same thing. It's irrelevant to what the story is about.
So you'll keep right on linking? Or posting? If the court allows you to strike that. Then I gather, no matter what technological developments may bring, your plans are to keep posting and linking DECSS, unless the court stops.
Objection.
I can repeat what I've said about we keep stories on our website because it's how we present our stories. We don't take things down. If we're directed to take it down, we take it down.
So the answer to my question is yes.
I suppose yes.
Are your plans to keep posting and linking to DECSS? Strike that. Are your plans to keep linking to DECSS websites? Even were you to determine that hundreds of thousands of movies were being transmitted over the internet?
Object on the grounds of course of speculation.
Again, I have to repeat.
Your answer would be the same.
My answer would be the same.
Yeah. So your current plans are to do all of these things no matter which of the changes that I just mentioned take place. Is that true?
Again, it's I can't speculate on that. Our site is a representation of news stories that is part of the news story.
So your plans would remain to keep posting or linking?
I'll object.
Is that true?
I'll object.
Yeah, and I can't answer any further based on that. Sorry.
Testify before, I can't remember, that you were familiar with Napster.
I said I had used it maybe once or twice.
So you know how it works?
I have a vague knowledge of how it works. I'm no expert.
Well, do you know that it's a system which allows members of the public with internet access to share files of songs with each other?
My understanding of it is that it allows people to, it's kind of like a directory. It points people at sites.
So they can exchange music? Is that your understanding?
I don't know what the intent is. I mean, that's...
Well, when you used it, did you use it to download some music that you found on Napster?
I used it to see how the program worked, to see what the fuss was all about,
to see if it actually worked. Did you download music?
I listened to one song.
Does that mean you downloaded it and onto your hard drive?
It was downloaded because that's the way it works. You connect to somebody's site and you listen to it.
Do you know whether or not there are sites in the United States today that offer such file sharing for both movies and records?
I'm not aware of any.
If you were to find out that there were, would you stop posting or linking to DECSS?
I object on the grounds that it calls for speculation.
If you found that out, would you plan to keep on? Do you now plan to keep on posting and linking?
I can't answer that. It's based on speculation. I can't really.
You don't know one way or another.
Other than what I've already testified to.
Well, you've already testified that it's not the point. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's your answer to this question.
No, I object to your summing up what he's testified to.
Is that right?
That's. My answer is what I've given, which is, you know,
which is
what I've said.
Which is what?
He's already testified that it was speculative.
Yeah, which is what, Mr. Gross?
Which is that it's irrelevant to the story.
And you would keep posting and linking?
We've already posted. It's not a question of continuing to post. It's a question of we've done this. It's
you wouldn't take down your posts or your links?
We take down our sites when we're legally obligated to take down our links, rather.
So one would have to get another injunction if one wanted to get you to take it down at that point?
I object.
Is that true?
I object. He didn't say that. He said when you...
Well, let's hear what he said. I asked him if that were true.
He said when
you... You want to mark this again?
That's not what he said.
Okay.
Can we hear the witness's last answer?
I think you want to listen to the question. I asked him if something were true.
I'd like to hear his answer.
You want to hear his last answer?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
saying answers what I'm giving, which is if it's relevant to the story.
Was that his last answer?
I'm just, they're all...
Keep going. Because it's something else I remember in the answer.
And you'll keep posting and linking. We've already posted. It's not a question of continuing to post. Question, would you take down your post or your links? We take down we take down a link when we're legally obligated to take them down.
That's what I wanted.
Do you know whether or not the vast majority of sites to which you are linking contain object code versions of DECSS?
He's already asked that. You've asked them that and he's already answered.
You can answer.
As far as my understanding, it's in a variety of formats. I'm not certain if object code is one of them.
Does that mean you don't know?
I don't know, for sure.
I see. Yeah. Can you read object code?
No.
Can you read source code?
Not very well.
Prior to link, strike that. Are there any sites to which you link, which you know, where you know that DECSS is being used in connection with reverse engineering?
As I said before, I don't know the motivation of what's going on in the heads of people that are running other sites. All we know is those sites have the programs. That's the extent of our knowledge.
Do you understand how, strike that, do you understand that people involved in reverse engineering could get DECSS without anyone posting or linking it then?
Sure.
How?
If they already had the program, if they already had CSS themselves and they were able to figure it all out, they could do it without even being on the net at all.
Isn't there a chat room where people who are involved in reverse engineering of CSS go to?
That I don't know.
You don't know that?
No.
Is there a chat room to which people who are involved in cryptographic research concerning DECSS can go to?
Again, I don't know.
I see. Did you ever try to find out?
No.
Can I ask you a question? I won't if it's an interference.
It's interference.
Okay.
I prefer you just to say object and nothing else whenever you do. But I don't know that you will do that. That paragraph 20. Still have your May 3rd affidavit in front of you?
There's no date on it.
It is on the back page.
Oh, back page, okay. Yes, I do.
If lawyers do something, it's going to come out backwards.
Okay.
Turning to paragraph 20 at page 7. Let me see. I'm going to count down from the top, beginning with the line that says our website.
Okay.
Okay, now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Make it 5 lines down. This website is an online. Do you see that?
Yes.
Could you read the next several sentences?
This website is an online supplement to the content published in the print magazine with an emphasis on current news. It does not exist as said in the injunction to distribute illegal code. It does not exist as said in the injunction to distribute illegal code. If we were interested in doing this, we could easily do a more efficient job and a less public one.
How?
Well, I'm not involved in the world of piracy, but I do know that if you want to distribute something illegally, you don't put it out for the whole world to see. Criminal networks don't advertise. They exist secretly. They're a lot more efficient when people don't know about them. If we believed this was a crime, we wouldn't be doing it like this.
Well, you say here, if we were interested in doing this, which I think means the distribution, the illegal distribution of the code.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, yeah.
Okay. We could easily do a more efficient job and a less public one. I'm asking you how you would do that.
Well,
objections just answered.
No, he didn't.
It's a theoretical question. I'm not a criminal. I'm not somebody who distributes things illegally, but I imagine if I was to do something like this, the way I wouldn't do it would be to put it on my website and tell everybody about it.
Was my impression that you were swearing to the statement that we could do a more efficient and less public job, mm-hmm, if we were distributing illegal code, and I'm asking you why you said that.
I object to the sentence.
How would you do the more efficient, less public job?
He just answered.
I thought I just answered this too, but what I'm trying to point out is that if we were involved in a criminal conspiracy of some sort, the way we are doing it now, the way we have it up on our website, would be absolutely the worst, most inefficient way to both engage in the crime and distribute the criminal material.
What would be the better way?
To have an organized network of people that keep quiet, that don't tell the entire world about it, to surreptitiously distribute the code everywhere where it could be used in a bad way for a particular crime, and that's not what this code is about. So I don't think it's relevant at all.
Well, aren't you describing the internet? People with false names putting things out to... How does anyone find you? Except by writing you an email, but how do they locate you? How do they talk to you in person?
The same way people locate anything on the internet, through search engines, through publicity of various sorts.
That just gets one through a website.
What else are you asking?
Well, how would they find a person? How would they find a person to conspire with?
Again, if you're involved in a crime, I truly can't answer that because I'm not involved in a crime, so I don't know how they would.
It's not like you never did.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
objection.
Like you were never involved. You have some
objection
information about such things.
All I can do is theorize on that.
All you can do is, as I remember it, is break into other people's computers.
Objection.
What you did do in the 80s.
Objection.
That was criminal. Is that right?
Objection.
First of all, that predates the internet. And second of all, that's not all I did in the 80s.
Paragraph 21, below paragraph 20. You read the first two lines of that, two sentences of that paragraph, sir.
The sites containing DECSS mirrors to which we currently link are very diverse in nature. Some of the sites have simply put the files up as a form of protest.
And the next sentence.
Others explain exactly why they are doing this as a social commentary.
Okay. You go on to say some are juvenile in nature, using a tone that we would not employ ourselves. Is that right?
As that site demonstrated, yes.
The site that said what?
The site that you introduced is Exhibit 6.
What was juvenile there?
The language was juvenile.
Which
the attitude
language?
Was juvenile. The multiple cursing and anti-government DVD hold speak. It's not at all how we would present ourselves.
Are there any websites containing DECSS mirrors who are doing it solely to copy DVDs and allow other people to copy DVDs?
I've never heard of one.
Is the answer you don't know? Or just
no, the answer is no. I've never heard of one.
No, you've never heard of them. Which sites do you know that have put DECSS on their website solely as a form of social protest? Could you name those?
I'd have to have a list. I'd have to go through them. I can think of Cryptome.org as a site that has posted the source code. And I know they are not juvenile in nature.
Which sites post DECSS or link to DECSS that are composed only of professionals who go into great detail as to what the programs do and how they are used?
Again, you have to go down the list.
Can you name any?
Not off the top of my head, no. Actually, that's not true. I can think of one. OpenDVD.org is one that has very intelligent views. If I thought about it for a very long time, I could probably come up with a second one. There are various...
Out of how many would you estimate?
I'm not saying that's all there is out of all...
No, I'm just asking you how many sites are there today that post or link to other sites?
Oh, there are thousands. I mean, we only have a couple of hundred on our site, but there are thousands.
I see. And you can think of only two. Well, so as a form of social credit.
If you ask me how many were juvenile, I could think of even less because I don't memorize URLs of websites.
Is it your understanding that DECSS enables users to defeat or bypass regional coding?
That's my understanding, that it's one of the capabilities.
Where did you get that understanding from?
From technical information that I've seen, talked to people on the net.
Can you name any of the people or identify any of the information?
I believe I've seen this on a couple of the sites that I mentioned just now. I've seen mention of that. I know from talking to people at conferences, from various other exchanges, at 2600 meetings, and just various casual conversations, that is one of the things that that the DECSS is able to accomplish, defeating region coding.
And
defeating
region coding.
And what is region coding?
Region coding is an artificial control that was implemented, I believe, by the DVD-CCA to prevent someone from watching a DVD in a different country. It's the equivalent of, if it happened to a CD, you would not be able to buy a CD in England and listen to it here. Something that we're used to doing.
Do you know why plaintiffs use regional coding?
I have no idea. I've tried to figure that one out.
Can't imagine.
I imagine it has something to do with money, but that's as far as I can go.
Anything having anything to do with money is bad.
Objection. I didn't say that.
How much do you make a year from your magazine?
In the range of 40 to 45 thousand.
Let the record indicate that I gave Mr. Gold facts with the tax returns. I don't think it's relevant to this deposition, but since it's more confidential for a period of time, I'd rather than have a difficult time with Mr. Gold, those documents are furnished to him.
You are correct in so far as you go, but you travel such a short distance. You came in here after lunch today with a package that you put on the table and you said contained some tax returns. I assume you're telling the truth. I haven't had a chance to look into it yet. That's the rest of it.
Let me interject for one second. I believe you said they're more confidential.
The whole deposition is more confidential.
All of it, these documents.
No, but I think everything that goes into the deposition, as I understand it, is confidential, all documents, everything, until such time.
Until 10 days,
until
I think.
Until 10 days, and then there has to be some kind of procedure or practice that we go through.
Is it your understanding that your linking to sites containing DECSS is a fair use?
That my linking in particular?
Would you like the question right back to you?
I'm sorry?
Do you want the question right
yeah.
back? Sure.
Is it your understanding view that you are linking to sites containing DECSS as a fair use? I object to the question on grounds for legal conclusion.
Yeah. I'm trying to understand that, and that's a...
You don't have any understanding, then, about that?
It calls for legal interpretation.
No, I'm asking you for your understanding as a journalist, if you have any.
I can't say I do on that particular issue.
Okay.
the coffee's still tepid. It's another tepid vodka.
Tried everyone's?
No, I think the gentleman has ignored your statement that we were waiting a few more minutes for the hot coffee. We would never do anything like intentionally serve you tepid coffee. Heaven forfend.
I apologize for the confusion.
Thank you, sir. Is it true, sir, that you believe you are lawfully linking to sites that post DECSS?
Yes.
And is a part of the reason for that belief the use made of DECSS by people who go to your website and then link over to another site that contains DECSS and then download it? In other words, I'm asking you whether it's true that you believe it's appropriate for you to link because of the use some people make of DECSS, like cryptographical research. I'm sorry, those are the same thing, like reverse engineering.
I object to that. He's already testified to answer that question.
Our reason for initially posting the material was for that very reason, and the linking is a continuation of that, so I suppose that would be yes.
But it, I see.
If I understand the question correctly.
And you can, is it true that you can think of no other way to give DECSS to those people other than by linking in the manner that you're doing it?
I object to that. That isn't what he said.
We're not thinking of ways to get it to people. We've posted it. We did post it on our site. It was part of a story. The linking is also part of the story. As I said before, if we wanted to distribute it to people, I'm sure there are a lot more efficient ways of doing that. That's not what it's about.
So you didn't link to other sites containing DECSS, and you didn't originally post to help cryptographers and to help reverse engineers.
I'll object.
Is that true?
I'll object to the question.
It's related, and it's all part of the quest for knowledge, and that's why the story is of interest. And that's why we put the story on our site, so that people who are interested in reverse engineering and cryptology research in that field would have something to study, and something to analyze, and perhaps study something else as a result of this.
I'm going to ask the reporter to read that question back to you, and I'm going to ask you if there's anything you have to add to your answer.
Okay.
So you didn't link to other sites containing DECSS, and you didn't originally post to help cryptographers and to help reverse engineers. Is that true? What had your objection?
And then his answer?
His answer is it's related. I mean, it's all part of the quest for knowledge, and that's why the story is of interest, and that's why we put the story on our site, so that people who are interested in reverse engineering and cryptology research in that field would have something to study, has something to analyze, perhaps study something else as a result of this.
Is it also true that you believed it was appropriate to post or link the sites that post DECSS so that anyone in the country or in the world who wanted to know about DECSS could get DECSS?
Well, we believe knowledge should be available to anyone, yes.
So the answer is yes?
Yes.
referred in your testimony to movie reviewers who make clips of movies. Mm-hmm. And that was one fair use of DECSS. You remember that?
That's an example of fair use, period, yes.
Can't the same thing be done by using a CSS licensed DVD player?
That's not my understanding of how the technology works.
It's not.
No, you would not be able to copy to another medium.
You would not
be able to copy to another medium, such as videotape.
Do you know whether a CSS licensed DVD player enables the user to fast forward through the movie?
My understanding is that it does not.
And where did you get that from?
I've heard that from, again, numerous sources in the community.
No. Which community?
The Linux community, open source community, the hacker community. And it's, I believe it's well documented in the specs for CSS that if that is not commonly used at the moment, that it's, the capability certainly exists for that to be commonly used, that CSS enables that.
Have a view. What is your view of how quickly technology is accelerating in regard to the delivery of substantial amounts of file content over the internet?
I'll object to the speculation.
It's advancing. I wouldn't say it's advancing extremely fast. It's advancing.
And that knowledge comes from all these
experience.
Communities that you talked about.
No, that's a personal experience. Obviously, you know, things do get faster. But they're not getting extremely fast. I think we're a ways away from that.
What is, how long is that? Quote, a ways away.
I've checked the formal question.
Close quote.
I would consider it many, many years.
And you heard that from the same communities that you chat with?
I've heard that, but I've also witnessed it myself.
How can you witness things that haven't happened yet?
Well, no, I've witnessed the change, say, between the early 90s and now. And even if you were to triple that, it still would not be anything near what would be needed.
Anything near what?
What would be needed to facilitate this.
Is it your understanding that it's impossible to create an unbreakable encryption system?
I object to the question. I'll allow the witness to answer. He's not a topic.
My understanding is that it's highly unlikely, highly unlikely. And I think that's my personal view on it, my understanding.
In your view, is any encryption system, no matter how sophisticated, subject to cracking if enough time and effort is devoted to it?
I'll object to it. It's not a good problem.
My understanding is that given enough time and effort, yes.
And your understanding comes from?
Mostly my personal view, also supplemented by various conversations I've had over the years with people, seeing how technology advances.
Has this already been marked there? Was this the big exhibit that we put in?
Mark, did they ever work out that item
there? It's not at the moment.
No.
Make sure you get a hat when you see him.
You wear a hat?
Oh, no, a Disney hat.
It's raining, I guess.
I'd like to get something out of this.
We'll mark this as exhibit, whatever the next one is.
I'll give it a stare in a minute.
Turning to the second page of that, Mr. Grossing. The beginning of the first full paragraph, second sentence. Oh, the beginning of the first full paragraph on page two.
Mm-hmm.
Could you read the first several sentences?
Okay. We don't take this kind of thing lightly. We knew there were certain risks attached to our taking a stand on the DVD issue. That in itself seems inevitable to us, as we had nothing to do with the actual cracking of the encryption.
Okay. Continue. What were the risks that you refer to?
The risks were basically we had seen people being threatened simply for having the ECSS on their website, something that we found to be inconceivable. And we realized at that point, once it started happening to us, we realized it as we posted the information on our site, that could very well move over to us, as it did. There's risks involved in freedom of speech, always are.
In answering the last question, you used the expression, what would move over to us? And I don't know what that means, but I'm going to ask the reporter to read you your answer, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to ask you to tell me what that means.
Okay.
What would move to us?
The risks were basically we had seen people being threatened simply for having ECSS on their website, something that we found to be inconceivable. And we realized at that point, once it started happening to us, we actually realized it as we posted the information on our site, that that could very well move over to, that's us and our site, us as it did, that there's risk involved in freedom of speech.
What would move over to us are the words that are...
The threats, the intimidation.
And the threats you're referring to are threats of lawsuits?
Threats of lawsuits and actual lawsuits, yes.
And what intimidation? Is intimidation something different from that?
No, I consider that intimidation right there.
Uh-huh. But you do believe that people in this country have a right to take others to court when they feel their rights have been violated?
It's the American way.
You don't like that way when you are on the defendant's side?
I don't think anybody likes to be on the defending side of it, but it is... There's nothing illegal about it, if that's what you're asking.
But it's intimidating.
It absolutely can be.
Can you think of any way to avoid that kind of intimidation?
I object to the following question.
In this particular case, I think some kind of a dialogue, some kind of willingness to learn from one's mistakes as far as developing technology. I think there's a lot to be learned here. I think we could have a strengthened encryption system. We can have something that will work and won't fall apart quite as quickly as this did.
Later in this column, I, for the first time, take great pleasure in your writing. And the words that give me that pleasure are contained in the middle of the next paragraph, beginning with, they may very well. Would you read those two lines?
Mr. Gold, I think that if you look at it, compliment aside, according to the page that you put down, this was not his writing. Someone else's.
Did you not write this?
I'd have to look this over. Yes,
okay, why don't you give it a look over?
Okay.
Mr. Gold, if you look at the last sentence.
Mr. Garbus, there's no question even before the witness yet. Do you think you can refrain from making a speech? Good. I don't. I'm grateful for your instinct, but I would prefer you not to help me.
I think this was a collaboration. I think most of the first part, including the first two items before this, I mostly put together, and the rest is the rest of the facts in here, I believe, were done by our webmaster, and I approved it.
Now, Mr. Reporter, before the witness answered the question, Mr. Garbus stated on the record that this was not his writing. That statement was followed by the witness's answer. I'd like you to mark that. Now, who wrote the two lines you read?
I believe that was written by our webmaster, but again, I can't be 100% certain because this was, I'm not sure when this was written.
I think you gave me his name once before, but I forget it. Can you tell me who he is?
His webmaster, the email address is mackey@2600.com. His first name is Micah. @2600.com, and his first name is Micah. And that's pretty much, I've met him a couple of times. He's from California. That's the extent of my knowledge.
That's where he is now?
Yes.
Do you have an address?
I don't have an address. I have an email address.
And what is it?
mackey@2600.com.
Mr. Reporter, could you read that back to me?
Sure. mackey.
Yeah.
2600.com.
Mr. Garbus, I'd like to take Mackey's deposition probably for about 2 hours or an hour and a half.
I would have to contact him.
Would you? And let me know if you would, could you tell us how to make arrangements or perhaps make arrangements for us one of the times that we're all going to be out there anyway, both of us.
I don't know how we've worked out those times, but yes, if I could do it.
It's going to be a very fast thing. It could be fitted at the very beginning.
I'm not clear about one thing. Maybe you could help.
I would rather you not do. It's not after the deposition is over. We're off the record. Then I'm happy to discuss with you anything you want to discuss. Did you read this before it was published on your website?
Yes.
And did you believe it was true?
I believed it was. Yeah.
Which prosecutions does this refer to from the clause, a recent look at prosecutions?
This is probably referring to various cases that have been in the hacker community, namely the Kevin Mitnick case, the Bernie S. case. This is over the course of years. That's what is meant by recent, and
recent is how many years?
Several, throughout the 90s. I consider that to be recent. And
okay. Which new laws are referred to?
Laws like digital telephony, the DMCA.
What?
DMCA.
Yeah.
Electronic Communications Privacy Act, laws such as that.
Does this statement indicate 2600's view that posting or linking to DECSS was as a matter of law illegal?
I object to it. It speaks for itself.
I'm sorry, could you ask that one more time?
Yes, sir, of course. Would you read that back to the witness? Mm-hmm.
Does this statement indicate 2600's view that posting or linking to DECSS was, as a matter of law, illegal?
No, absolutely not. We never thought it was illegal.
Does the two sentences you just read mean that before you were involved in the lawsuit, you knew it was inappropriate to post DECSS?
No, that's not what I said.
Does the sentence, a recent look at prosecutions and new law, seems to pave the way for just this sort of thing, mean that these prosecutions and the decisions in them and the new laws make it illegal to post DECSS?
I don't object to the witness interpreting sentences. The sentences say what they said.
I don't see it that way.
What way do you see it?
Could you read back the question?
Certainly.
Kind of,
of course.
Confusing here.
Can I hear the question and the answer to the objection?
I'm sorry, the last question?
Last question, answer the objection. Go.
Oh.
Question, answer, yeah. Question, objection. He then says, can I hear it? Okay.
I'm not sure if it was quoted exactly, but you have it there in front of you. I'll read what I have. Does the sentence, a recent look at prosecutions and new law, seems to pave the way for just this sort of thing, mean that these prosecutions and the decisions and the new laws make it illegal to post DECSS? Objection. I will object to the witness interpreting sentences. The sentences say what they say. Answer. I don't see it that way. Question. What way do you see it?
Basically, what I'm trying to interpret what the sentence is communicating in terms of this case.
And do you find that difficult to do?
Objection. Basically, what we're trying to say is that there have been increasing numbers of prosecutions in recent months, recent years, and that something that was not considered to be at all, even questionably illegal, could all of a sudden be brought into court, and people could wind up being dragged through the legal system. And what we had seen over many years was, or recent years anyway, was people who just got tired of the whole system, who were dragged through everything and were forced to give up without ever having proven the case.
Without ever having?
Having had the case proven against them. So it's hard for me to recapture the mood that was around when this article was written, because it was back in December.
I didn't ask you for the mood, I asked you for what it says.
Right, well, I mean, you have to sort of get into the mood to see what the words are communicating and saying.
I don't find that to be true when I read the New York Times. I think do you find that difficult when you...
Well, this is an opinion piece, this is different.
Uh-huh. When you're reading the editorial pages of the New York Times, do you find that not knowing the mood of the editorial writer?
I think if you went back to, say, 1920 or something, you might have some difficulty knowing exactly what the person's talking about. We've seen a lot of changes over the months, so I'm trying to gauge exactly what was written and by who.
I object to this column here.
Could you read the last sentence of the same paragraph, sir?
But all of the scare tactics?
That's the one.
But all of the scare tactics in the world will never erase the human need for knowledge and the instinctive desire to figure out things, regardless of whether or not we're, quote, supposed to, unquote.
What do the words supposed to mean in that sentence?
I believe that's a reference to knowledge being regulated. In other words, people being told that asking certain questions is wrong, pursuing certain ways of figuring things out is wrong. And I believe at that time we've been hearing a lot of talk along those lines that it would be one day illegal to even think in certain ways. So I think that's what this is based on.
Does the expression, regardless of whether or not we're supposed to, include the concept of whether or not what we do is illegal?
Objection. The sentence speaks for itself.
Could you read that question?
Sure.
Make sure I answer it right.
Oh, sure.
Does the expression, regardless of whether or not we're supposed to include the concept of whether or not what we do is illegal?
I believe most definitely we did not think anything that we were doing was illegal.
Didn't ask you that. I ask you if the words, regardless of whether or not we are supposed to, includes the concept, regardless of whether or not these things are legal.
No.
It does not.
Not in my understanding, no.
Mm. Well, did you understand at the time this article was written? Did you understand at the time this article was written that a citizen in this country was expected to and supposed to follow the law?
Yes.
Do you recall whether or not you ever wrote and published on your website the statement that big companies manipulate the courts in this country?
I need to see a particular quote.
You don't remember whether or not you ever said that?
Specifically in those words?
In words or in substance?
It's possible. That's the best I can do. It's possible. I don't know specifically if I ever said that.
Mr. Gold, can I suggest you show it to him?
No. And I suggest that you not interrupt. But look after it, because we'll have it by the time of the trial. So you keep watching.
I have no intention of reading all that material.
I know that that's true. Boy.
I say it's a courtesy to me, Mr. Lord, if you're not telling me to do it.
I'm going to let that go by. Can you believe it? Site is beginning to look like Mr. Goldstein's attic. Not that I can so testify. Okay, I have to take a break, but I'm going to turn this over to my co-counsel for some questions.
And how long is that going to be?
No.
My co-counsel being Mr. Lipka?
Yes.
Hey, Mr. Lipka.
Did you want to take a break?
You want to take an hour? Yes.
Take a 5-minute break and let us switch places.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mark, you have to hook yourself up here.
The time is 3:05 p.m. We're going off the record. The time is 3:14 p.m. We're going back on the record.
Good afternoon, Mr. Goldstein. My name is Mark Litvak. I'm attorney for the plaintiffs in this action. Your counsel indicated he handed us a stack of documents this afternoon purporting to be your tax returns. I've handed to you the entire stack. Can you just tell us what it is?
Thank you. These are tax returns, both corporate and individual, going back to 1995.
Okay. I note they're not signed.
These are copies.
Okay. Are they exact copies of what was actually filed with the Internal Revenue Service?
These are copies that my accountant supplied, so they're as exact as possible to get, as far as I know.
So as far as you know, there is no difference between this set and the set filed, absent your signature?
Right.
Is everything, is there something in there that you know is not true, and you later had to go file either a change, or you looked at it later and say, geez, I should have changed that? Or to the best of your knowledge, is everything in there true and accurate?
Everything is in there is true and accurate.
If there were any supplemental...
Yeah, they would be in there, too.
I will check it with the accountant.
I'm not suggesting there is. Sometimes people say, geez, I meant to. That's it with that document. And the last document you were looking...
Do you want to mark it?
No, no need. You commented in this piece, or it was commented, that it's one more example of a powerful corporate entity trying to intimidate a bunch of individuals through lawyers, guns, and money. You chuckle now as I read that to you. What's the chuckle?
Well, I'm not sure what those are my words. I'm not sure what the word is. Strident, maybe? I can understand the... I can understand some of the emotion behind it, but I don't think that's something that I would say in quite that way.
It's fair to say that that's not fair and accurate totally as regards this case.
It's an opinion. It's an opinion piece.
Well, the guns part is pure hyperbole, is it not?
I think that's a reference to law enforcement or, whatever else the writer may be trying to convey.
You talked earlier about some of the sites being juvenile in nature. Remember that conversation?
Today, you mean?
Today.
Yes.
And you had used it in, it's a quote from your declaration.
Yeah, declaration too.
And you said, as I understand it, they are juvenile in nature. I guess the example you gave, the language they use.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
The language they use, yeah, the way they look.
And the example that was read to you earlier, using foul language.
Yeah, this thing here.
Exhibit number 6 is an example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair to say, though, are you telling us that you yourself do not use that sort of language in regards to the internet or communicating ideas?
I don't think so.
Never have.
I don't think even 20 years ago I would use that kind of language.
And specifically the kind of language here is, what word is it?
It's not so much the words, it's just the tone, all caps and basically targeting people and labeling people. It's not the kind of thing I do.
Okay, the foul language, is that something you would do?
Again, language is something I think is open to interpretation. This I consider to be foul language. Now, does that mean every time those particular words are used, it's foul? We can have a discussion about that. I'm not sure.
Okay.
You might be able to point to me using a word in some other context, and I don't think it would have the same connotation as it does here.
Okay. Is there any words there that you consider to be foul in and of themselves that you would not use when it comes to the internet?
I'll object to this. I don't see the relevance this has to this case. If you have something you want to show it, you show it.
There are no words that I restrict myself from using, if that's what you're asking.
Okay. Do you own the domain name 2600.com?
Yes.
Is that the only domain name you have owned?
No.
What other domain names have you owned?
There are a bunch. There's various other interpretations of that, or iterations of that, rather, 2600.net, 2600.org.
Yeah,
sorry, 2600.net, 2600.org, and there are other. I wish I had a list in front of me. I'm trying to think of everything that we have. There are some humorous sites that we've put up. A recent one concerning Verizon.
Verizon.
Yeah. We basically put up a site called verizonreallysucks.com, which is probably one of the ones you're thinking of, just as kind of a forum for people to criticize the company. And I mean, there are others. I'm not sure if is there a particular one you're interested in.
Did you put up any in regards specifically to this litigation?
To this litigation? I honestly don't think so. I don't think.
Are you sure about that?
He's
going to be honest. He doesn't.
Honestly not sure. I mean, if you know of one, please tell me.
Have you ever owned a domain name with the name Morons in it?
Ah, okay. Now it's coming back to me. We have a domain name with a foul word in it, followed by the word morons.
Do you want to tell us for the record what the domain name was?
Yes, it's fuckingmorons.com. And it was someone at Tony Scott, I forget exactly who. And it was really just, I thought it was funny, if it was just a joke, that it would be pointing to MPAA, but that's, I think it's actually been pointed at different sites, not just MPAA. It's been pointed, it was pointed at us for a while. It's been pointed at, the beauty of the net is you can point sites wherever you want to point them. And it was just an example of humor. So I don't see that as something necessarily immature along that level. Immature to a degree, perhaps, but I don't think anything other than just, you know, the kind of joke you'd see on late night TV or something like that, cable.
Was there any other purpose for creating that domain name?
We didn't publicize it very much. Just told a few friends, I think.
Do you know if you got any hits on it?
No, they don't keep that kind of information. Actually, you would know, because I think you have referrer logs that would tell you if people came in through there.
Any other purpose, though, for creating it?
Basically, the real reason, it was not created with the MPAA in mind, I should point that out. It was created because registrars, this is really what it goes back to, registrars, they used to be simply one in this country, Network Solutions. Late last year, or actually over the summer last year, it was deregulated. More registrars came into existence. And all of a sudden, the rules that NSI had lived by for many, many years, which restricted all use of any four-letter word, all of a sudden those rules no longer existed. And for a period of time, I think about 2 days actually, every single iteration of a site with one of those words was going fast. And it was just, this was well before any of this started to happen. We just thought it would be fun to register some of those and either use them as we see fit in the future or give them away to people to do whatever they want. They were going to go anyway, so we figured we might as well get them and play around with them. But that's an example of one of the, I guess that's about as childish as we get.
Was that telling the story or reporting the story as you see your job?
Well, we didn't report that story. That's just something we did behind the scenes.
You said that 2600 is a journalistic venture that reports and tells the story. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Is you're using that domain name to, I guess what you said, poke fun at the MPA, part of telling the story?
That's not part of our journalistic...
So 2600 has other things to do other than being journalists then. I guess that's not what you're telling us.
I object to the form of the question. It's not what he's telling you.
This is not something that is done as 2600. It's something that is done as individuals just goofing around. It's just a joke.
Who owns the domain name?
I do.
What name? Who is the owner? Tell me the name of the owner of the domain name.
Again, I have to look at the actual sites because there are a lot of domain names I own. I believe it's Emmanuel Goldstein, but it could be slightly different. But that's what I understand it to be.
Do you own any other domain names with four-letter words in it?
There are a few. I don't remember specifically which ones.
Can you?
We just grabbed a bunch. You know, it's just for the fun of it.
Why don't you tell us what else you own?
Like I said, if you show me a list, I can confirm it or deny it. But this is not something that's paramount in my mind. In fact, a lot of these sites, I've forgotten about ever since we grabbed a few of them.
And the only one you remember is this one now?
Because you brought it up, yes.
Are there any others you use that as you sit and recall in regards to this litigation?
In regards to this litigation? That's the only one I can think of that points to MPA, or ever did point to MPA. To be honest, I don't even know if it's pointing there now. You know, it may have been pointing there for a while and then pointing somewhere else. I don't even remember. I've had far more important things to worry about.
Who linked it to the MPA site?
I don't recall.
Did you do it?
I don't recall if I did or not.
Well, if you didn't do it, who else could have done it?
Anybody who is on our site and has root access and is able to change the
root access
and is able to change the configuration files that would point.
But see, you told me you own the domain name.
I own the domain name.
Okay, so who else has authority to use your domain name?
Anyone who has system administrative privileges on my system on 2600.com is capable of going into the files that designate where that site points to and pointing it someplace else. It's very simple.
Okay. Who else is that?
Our system administrator. I believe our webmaster has that access as well. Our office manager has that access. It's a very simple thing. It's nothing complex.
Anyone else?
Not that I know of.
And as you sit right here right now, you don't know who actually created the link?
I can't swear to who created the link. I'm not saying I didn't do it. I don't remember. This is not a major issue for me. It's a simple joke, parody. I don't see its relevance at all.
And as you sit here right now, there is no other link that you or anyone else at 2600 you know created that would fall into this similar characterization of a link.
Could you maybe rephrase that a little bit?
Okay. I'm just trying to make sure. You said, as I understand it, you don't remember right now whether you did this or someone else on the 2600 staff did it.
Right.
And I just want to make sure. Is there any other domain name that 2600 or you own that you utilized in a similar way to this one?
I'll object to the word similar. I'm not sure what you mean.
Do you understand what I mean by that? In any way mentioning this litigation or impacted by this litigation?
Specifically for this litigation, I don't recall of any. No.
It's fair to say the only reason you did this and on this domain name was because of this litigation.
Now, as I said, the domain name was registered well in advance of this litigation, so that was not the reason for registering the domain name.
Your use of tying it to the MPAA, isn't it fair to say that was only because of this litigation?
It was related, I'm sure, yeah, because people felt a certain way about that.
Okay, now I said only and you said related, so is there any other reason you did this other than this litigation?
I'm sure there are other reasons to describe the MPAA in certain ways if people think about it enough and discuss it enough. I don't know. I would imagine it's related to the ongoing hostilities. But again, you know, I can't crawl back into my head and figure out exactly when this was done, who did it, what the thinking was at the time is something that I have not thought about at all. And this is the first I've even thought about it in it must be months. So I don't know who posted it, when they posted it, what the exact thinking was when it was posted or rather linked.
You said numerous times that the reason you kept up the link is it's part of the story.
Which links are we talking about now?
The links to DCSS.
Okay.
Switching topic. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
And that you view it as your job as a journalist to basically report that story.
I'm going to object. I think the practice we've had is that if a second lawyer comes in, he's entirely entitled to go into new areas. What you seem to be doing now is going over areas that Mr. Goldberg owned.
Okay. I will.
And that we've agreed no one should do.
I will not do. Isn't it correct that you and 2600 asked people to post the ESS so that you could link to it?
We've told people how they could support, how they could show their support for this information, for talking about the ECSS, reverse engineering, encryption technology, all the things that were being restricted. We explained how we saw this as a danger and how people could show support if they chose to.
Okay.
We also apprised them of the risks that went with that.
And there are a lot of ways you indicated then to them they could show support. Isn't that right?
There are many ways.
I'll object to it. This is exactly what Mr. Gold went over.
Now I'm asking you specifically, which Mr. Gold did not ask. Didn't you ask people to post it so that you could link to it?
We had a form where people could submit a site if they wanted their site added to the list. All they had to do was fill it out and send it to us. But that was their choice.
I object. This has already been gone over through with Mr. Gold.
Let us mark this next document, whatever number we're on. Mm-hmm. Would you like to copy, Mr. Garvis?
Sure. Number 8.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yogi.
Thank you.
Have you ever seen this? Exhibit 8 appears to be a printout of from your website. Is that fair?
Yes, it's one of our webpages.
And you've seen this before?
Yes.
Okay. By the way, do you do anything to check the veracity of what you post before you put it on?
I'll object to that. The witness testified to that yesterday. At great length, I'm going to object to going over the same material again.
Okay, let me ask you, did you do anything to check the veracity of this particular page?
I take responsibility for all pages on our site.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I think there was some testimony earlier, you weren't sure whether you had written something particular or not. I did not know if you recall whether you yourself had written this page.
These two paragraphs here? So, is that what you're referring to?
Those two paragraphs, I guess, would be it. I'm not sure if the summary and the news also would fall within them.
Okay. I believe I wrote these two paragraphs. They do sound like my style.
Is this...
What was the answer?
Yeah, I believe I've written them. They sound like my style.
Is it your opinion that your call to action, and that's a quote from the exhibit, is part of telling the story?
By having people hand out flyers? By having people tell others about what's going on? It's part of getting the word out, yes.
Okay, and the word you're attempting to get out via this is what?
The ECSS is something that is an interesting story. It has to do with encryption and reverse engineering and technological developments and education. We outlined what we felt was wrong with the case against us and told as many people as we could, as I believe is our right.
And you see this part of reporting a story?
I see this as part of reporting a story, yeah, of getting the word out. It might not be a traditional way of that the mainstream media does it, but that's how we do it.
declaration. You made the comment, "While I don't practice or condone breaking into computer systems, experience has shown us that such acts are an inevitable product of curiosity combined with new technology."
What item number?
Right. Declaration is exhibit.
What item number? What's that? What's paragraph?
13, page 4.
Okay, I'm there.
And Mr. Gold did ask you about this, then?
Yes.
Mr. Gold asked about the entire paragraph, is that what I remember?
Correct. So I'm not going to repeat his question.
Okay.
Isn't it fair to say that what the $2,600 quarterly does do is condone breaking into computer systems?
Absolutely not.
Let me finish.
I'm sorry.
And tell people how to go about violating the law?
Absolutely not.
Are there not articles, numerous articles, in your magazine that specifically do that?
There are articles submitted to us by people that give us information on various operating systems, on how things work, but it's always been the editorial stance of our magazine that breaking into computer systems is irresponsible, it's wrong, but what we do is we recognize that it's also something that is happening, and we want people to act responsibly.
Okay. Don't you tell people how to steal as well in these magazines?
I don't think we've ever told people how to steal.
Right. I'll object to it unless you
about,
show it. I'll object to it unless you show the witness the quote.
How about using telephones without paying for them?
We describe how telephones work.
And do you tell people how to use telephones without paying for them?
We tell people how the system works and how, if there are security weaknesses in it, we describe the security weaknesses. That's the nature of information. We describe how it works. We do not say, go out and do this and break the law. We've never said that. And you can trace that back to our first issue in 1984.
You tell people how to create false legal documents as well?
False legal documents.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we tell people how systems work.
You don't recall specifically telling people how to create false...
I don't recall ever telling someone how to do that. And while there... I mean, there might be an article that that talks about how a particular system works.
How about stealing cellular phone systems? Do you tell people how to do that in the magazine as well?
Stealing systems?
Phone time, on cellular phone times.
Do we tell people how to steal cellular phone time?
Yes.
We describe how systems work, and we describe how the cellular phone system works. Now, if someone uses that information in a good way, that's not our concern. If somebody uses that information in a bad way, that's not our concern. We provide the information. That's what we do.
Don't you teach people how to make card phones in this magazine, and the only purpose of those is to steal phone time?
No.
You sure?
Well,
remember, you're under oath here, so we're going to go through these articles.
If you have an article to show him, show him the article.
He just said no.
I said no, and I'll continue to say no, because the interpretation of the intent of knowledge is, I don't think any of us have the ability or even the right to say that.
Sir, didn't you specifically print an article, for example, on how to create and false ID about your age?
Someone may have written an article about how that is done.
And doesn't it specifically say in there the purpose of it is so you can drink when you're underage?
That might be that person's interpretation. That is not our interpretation.
Sir, you printed it in your magazine. You said you're responsible for every word in here.
I'm responsible for what we write as editorials, as replies to letters, as editorial stances in the magazine.
So do you believe that it would... So
we do not agree with every article that is submitted to our magazine, no. If we did, it would cease being what we are.
And what are you?
We're a journal of various bits of information that are sent to us from around the world, describing how systems work.
And part of that includes creating false IDs so underage people can drink.
I'd like to see the article you're referring to so I can answer it intelligently.
Please lower your voice, Mr. Litvak. Stop yelling at the witness.
Let me read you an article entitled Spoofing Cellular Service.
Okay.
This is from autumn 1996. First, why don't you tell me, what is spoofing cellular service?
In the context of that article, I believe it's creating a false phone number or a phone number on a different line. It can be interpreted in many ways. It can be an extension phone on a cellular system. It can be a fake number. I'd have to see the article to know exactly how it's meant in that particular case.
You don't remember this article?
I'd have to look at it to remember. I can't remember every word that's written in the magazine. Okay. That's an old issue, something from several years ago.
Until you read it, you can't tell me if the only purpose of this article is to tell somebody how to get cellular service without paying for it.
I'll object to what he's already said. Unless he reads it, he can't tell you what's in there.
That was my question.
You've asked him.
You'll stipulate to that?
I'll stipulate that he has to read the article before he can answer questions about it.
Okay, so you can't answer that without reading it.
I can't answer accurately without looking at it, at least.
Read the article. Take your time.
Yeah, sure.
For the record, as your counsel reads it, do you know when these were given to the plaintiffs in this case? These magazines?
Do I know when they were given?
Yes.
I believe today.
Okay. Doesn't that article tell you how to get cellular phone service without paying for it?
It tells you many things. It describes how that can be done. It also describes social engineering. It describes security weaknesses. I have no doubt after that article appeared that those security holes were fixed. I've gotten many times at conferences, executives of companies have walked up to me and said that we provide a valuable service for them.
Okay.
And I've also been criticized in the hacker community for doing just that, for giving away the secrets. So it's a two-edged sword.
So it's your testimony here you're attempting to do a public service for the cellular phone system?
No, my testimony...
I'll object to it. That was not the testimony.
My testimony is that we print information. People use that information in different ways. It's very simple.
Are there legal ways for people to use that system to get phone service without paying for it?
I wouldn't know.
Okay. Let me show you the next article. Tips on generating fake ID. So you want to get drunk this weekend or buy some cigarettes. It is sometimes easier to buy marijuana and take advantage of the black market brought on by the war on drugs, or follow on and learn how to kill your brain cells with alcohol. Was that done as part of a public service message?
That's an article somebody submitted. As I've said, I don't agree with every view expressed. It can be seen as parody. It can be seen as nonsensical humor. But it's also seen as educating people as to how something is done.
Parody on how to make a false ID?
No, parody on the opening paragraph that you just read. As if that's the only thing that a fake ID is good for, going out and getting drunk. I mean, who knows how you would interpret that.
Sir, let me show you an article from volume 15, number 2. Maybe you can read the year better than I can.
It's on the bottom of every page, if it's not on the front cover. the next page, definitely.
Well, maybe you can just tell me when it's from. Oh, summer of 98, on the bottom there.
Yeah.
That tells you how to make a false ID. Is that fair?
I'll object to it. The article tells you what it tells you. Whether it's fair or not is irrelevant.
Okay.
The article says what it says.
Mr. Garbus is absolutely right with his objection. Can you read to me the title?
Tips on Generating Fake ID.
Okay. Can you read to me all of the commentary or editorial comment that 2600 added on this?
We don't insert editorial comments into other people's articles.
You do.
People submit articles to us. We print the articles, and people learn from the articles. They either learn how to secure their systems, or they learn how the systems can be abused. They can do good things, they can do bad things. We exist to provide information.
What system is it you're teaching people how to hack in this article?
I didn't say we were teaching people to hack.
I'll object to it. That wasn't what he said.
I don't have to just adopt his answer, Mr. Garbus.
Of course you don't have to adopt his answer, but you can't restate what he said in the wrong way.
I get to ask the questions, okay. Are you attempting to teach somebody how to break into a system by that article?
I have no interest in people getting fake ID. It's a method that is used. It's educational. It's a report on holes that exist in various systems. That's as simple as I can make it.
Who made the decision to print that article in that magazine?
That would be me. That's the editor.
Can I ask that? In the end here, there's a thing that says how to spot fake ID and not be fooled. And it tells people what to say when they're handing over the fake ID. And the purpose of that is what?
Again, that's method, that's how things work.
Okay.
This is information that would exist even if it was not in our magazine, except it would be less well known and less people would understand it.
So you're trying to explain to more people how one could create a false ID if they want to?
And we're trying not to impose our moral judgments on information.
Okay. Do you also then tell people how to, I guess, break into specific companies' computer programs in your magazine?
I need a specific reference.
Have you ever done that?
There are all kinds of articles in the magazine about all kinds of computer systems.
Are you really going to sit here and tell me?
I'm going to object to the form of the question as to whether he's really going to sit here.
Are you? Is it your sworn
testimony?
Is it your sworn testimony right now that you do not ever remember publishing an article telling people how to break into a specific company's computer program?
We print articles about computer systems, other specific companies, and people can learn all kinds of things from that.
Okay. So you
want to show him an article? Show him an article.
I don't need to show him an article. He knows that they publish them on specific companies. Every one of these magazines has articles on specific companies, pretty much.
I object to it.
Isn't that fair?
And those specific companies read the articles.
Okay, so I don't need to show you any articles, Mr.
Litvak. You're going. This is a deposition. This is not an argument, opinion, Mr. Gold.
You objected. Said you need to show him the magazine. He knows he doesn't need the magazine. He knows it's the regular practice to print these articles. If you have an objection to form, make it.
I object to the form.
Good. There's not even a question pending.
You're looking at a specific article. That's the only reason I was curious which article it was.
But, you know, routinely, it's things you publish. Isn't that fair?
That's the nature of our magazine, is how systems work.
Fine. So, when I read one, Fun at Costco.
Mm-hmm.
Fun at Costco. Do you recall this article?
I'm thinking, yes.
Summer of 99.
I don't recall specifically what's in it, but I recall the article, yes.
I'll show you the article.
Thank you. Okay.
What is the fund at Costco?
It's, you asked me to analyze the title. It's basically a statement. You know, people, the title first of all was part of the article. Our writers entitled their own articles, so it's rare that we come up with our own titles. Again, it's basically a way of describing how these systems work from this person's point of view. They consider that fun.
What's fun? Shopping?
Learning how the systems work, seeing how the phone systems at that particular store work, and I'm trying to see what else is in here.
Isn't it using the computer system when you're not authorized to use it?
Using is different than reading. And we've told people, if you read our letters and you see our replies to people that are obviously intent on committing criminal acts, you'll see that we chastise them and tell them not to do it.
But you don't do it on...
Because those are articles. We don't comment on articles.
This article even tells you what to say when you get caught.
Mm-hmm.
Did you comment on it? Like, say, geez, don't do this?
Well, if Costco reads that article and someone says that, I think they'll know that they read the article too, and they'll be prepared for it.
So you send Costco a copy?
We don't send anybody a copy unless they ask for a copy. But usually if your company's name is in there, you get a copy pretty fast. You might even sell us at Costco.
Did you do, in this article, when it describes how to use Costco system wrongfully and what to say when caught, did you do anything to ensure that people didn't use the advice that you were handing out?
Like I said, we do not...
I'll object to the form of the question.
We do not impose our moral values on our articles. Our articles are what they are.
Even if they encourage illegal acts?
I'll object to the form of the question.
Okay. I don't believe the article only exists to encourage illegal acts. I think it's an informational article.
What's a diverter, or a telephone diverter?
Diverter is actually a very old piece of phone equipment that I believe doctors and plumbers and other such people use after hours. I might be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure it's used so that when somebody calls the office and nobody is there, the call gets forwarded to the person's home. It's kind of a mechanical version of call forwarding. It's rare to find these days because call forwarding is so prevalent in the phone companies.
And didn't you print an article on how to use a phone diverter so that the person utilizing it would not have to pay for the phone calls they made and that somebody else would be charged for it?
Well, now that's a very good point, actually, because I think you're going back to an old issue. Phone diverters have become notoriously insecure. And the reason for that is that when you call the person's office and the call gets forwarded to the person's home, that's done by picking up a second phone line and making a phone call and basically conferencing you in. And what happens is, and this is discovered by hackers, when the person on the remote end hangs up, the other phone drops to a dial tone, meaning that call diverters are not the way to go. Now, I had the option of buying a call diverter, and because of the information that I had from articles like this that I realized I'd be crazy to do that, that people could make phone calls off of my line. And I think that's one of the reasons why you don't see very many call diverters these days, because people are aware of the risks. If we had not printed articles like this, I'm sure there'd be a lot more people being ripped off these days who weren't aware of the risks.
Call diverters are a wonderful tool for you to add to your freaking arsenal. Is that telling people be careful about using them?
Are those our words?
Let me just make an objection. So that we
you can have an objection to form on the question.
No. Just so that we can save a little time. If James Bond describes 17 different ways to kill somebody, You think that James Bond's publisher or author is liable if it's a killing that ultimately occurs that way?
Let me ask you this, Mr. Garbus. Do you really in good faith believe that was an objection to form? Asking me a hypothetical?
Go ahead.
Call diverters are a wonderful tool for you to add to your freaking arsenal.
I believe I answered that by asking you if that's our writing or if that's the author's writing.
I'm reading from 2600.
Right, but is that an article that was submitted to us or is that our writing from the magazine?
Do you believe that is a way of warning people about the danger of call diverters?
If you read the article and you learn what the article says, yes, absolutely.
So that's the way you warn people, by language such as that?
That's the way we get the information.
After you've located, I'll quote again, after you've located a diverter, don't abuse it or the business is sure to pull the plug, leaving you to start all over again.
Again, that's the person who submitted the article to us, and that is the way they decided to write the article. We don't put our moral values over people's articles.
Article entitled Hacking the Three-Hole Payphone.
Okay.
Do you remember that article from?
That's our new issue.
Newish issue. So
yeah.
This one should be. In fact, this you did after the lawsuit was filed.
Yes.
Now, hacking the three-hole payphone, explaining to you how to put slugs into a phone system, to a payphone.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of that was to help the phone company stop it?
You've picked a real dandy of an example there. That actually is an article about phones that haven't existed in maybe the last 30 years. That's historical perspective there. And I think that goes to show that we do not print articles simply to show people how to defraud things. That is an example of how things worked in the past, how things were abused in the past. And I found it fascinating.
Do you believe there are no three-hole payphones left in America?
I'd sure like to find one, then. I'd love to see one.
Is it your testimony that there are no three-hole payphones left in America?
Except on movie sets, perhaps.
I mean, in fact, you guys specialize in phones because you put them on the back of every issue, isn't that right?
I object to the form of the question. You by specialize in phones?
We put pictures of foreign payphones on the back of our magazine. I'm sure there are bad ways that information can be used, too.
You put domestic as well, or only foreign?
Only foreign. We see enough domestic ones.
An article from spring of last year, 99,
mm-hmm.
Hacking a Sony PlayStation. You remember that article?
I remember the article. I've never had a Sony PlayStation myself, so I don't really remember what it entails.
If you're one of the millions of, I'm reading now. I'll give it to you, so that way you can see I'm accurate. Can you read the first paragraph out loud?
If you're one of the millions of PlayStation, PSX, you're one of the millions of PlayStation, in parentheses, PSX, owners out there, good news. You can quote-unquote hack your PSX with the addition of a quote mod MOD or quote PIC PIC chip, enabling you to play backed up ahem in parentheses PSX games, and more importantly import games, and at a fraction of the cost.
Okay, did you read this before you put it in the
yes.
magazine? Did you wonder, did you ask the author what he meant by ahem?
We don't communicate with the authors and analyze every word that they say and ask them to rewrite things. The articles speak for themselves. We print the information that the people send us. There's all kinds of things that can be gained from an article about hacking a Sony PlayStation. You can learn the vulnerabilities in the system. You can see what people are doing. we don't usually print articles on something like this. This is widespread without us doing this. We've been criticized for putting this in our magazine because it's really got nothing to do with real computers. These are games.
Did you have an understanding as to what they meant by ahem?
Yeah, I imagine it was a bit of sarcasm on their part, but I think that's also important to the article, so you know the tone of the person writing it and what it is that they're really up to.
Sarcasm on what issue?
On the issue of defining games that they had copied as backed up games instead of games that they had copied from friends.
Okay. Would that be a pirate copy?
It might be considered that. I'm not really familiar with the PlayStation world, if they even consider it that serious a thing. But this is information, this has been out years before we even touched it. And I think it's important for people to see what's being written about it.
Okay, I'm going to show you an article from fall of 1998. Can you read to me the title of the article?
Screwing with Movie Phone.
What is it called?
Screwing with Movie Phone.
And what does that article tell you how to do?
This article actually was interesting because it, I just remember what it had to say here. This talked about how particular transactions over the telephone could easily be used in a fraudulent manner. In other words, this involved people behind the counter, like fraud within Movie Phone, actually within the theater. Where if
doesn't it tell you can use Movie Phone if you're underage to buy an R-rated movie ticket and get in?
It tells of how there's no security whatsoever. Okay. If you buy a ticket in this way, and how people have been turning a blind eye to this for years.
Doesn't it also tell you how you can order over Movie Phone, go see the movie, and then get your money back as if you never saw the movie?
And this has been going on for years.
But it tells you how to do that.
I would bet that this stopped happening shortly after we printed the article.
Did you have an opinion as to whether that was a fair use of your movie ticket or not?
I don't think my opinion is relevant to the articles I get printed. The articles do not reflect my opinion.
You read them before they go
I read them, but the articles I print do not all agree with what I have to say. The hacker community is not one big monolithic collective mind. We try to print what information is out there that's different, that educates people the most on how things work and how things are vulnerable. And that's what I think we did with this article and with the other ones.
Let me show you the next article. Ask you if you remember this one. Can you read this?
Cable modem security.
Cable modem
security.
Can you just read the opening sentence?
Cable modems are becoming increasingly popular. I'm sorry. Okay. Cable modems are becoming increasingly popular among the internet connected for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is the availability of a cheap, high speed, high bandwidth connection on request.
Right, that's it.
That's it.
Did you ever do anything and put anything in your magazine to indicate you disagree with that statement?
Like I said, we don't comment on articles and put our editorial comments on the articles.
Did you believe that statement was wrong?
That cable modems are becoming popular with people who want high bandwidth? Cable modems are obviously becoming popular, yeah. I disagree with that.
Not the least of which is the availability of a cheap, high-speed, high-bandwidth connection on request.
Mm-hmm. And that article is also several years old. And we have not really advanced very, very far beyond cable modems in all that time.
Okay. Do you know of cable modems, the speed of cable modems?
I'm not familiar with the actual speed. It varies. It depends on how many people are in your loop.
Do you think they're quicker than 56?
They're quicker than 56, but how much quicker depends on how many other people share your line.
I'm gonna need a break.
Did you do anything to check the veracity of that particular statement before you published it?
Whether or not cable modems are fast?
Are becoming increasingly popular among the internet connected for a variety of reasons. Not the least of which is the availability of a cheap, high-speed, high-bandwidth connection on request.
I don't understand why that would be a statement that would need to be verified. It's pretty common knowledge that cable modems are popular because they offer quote-unquote high speed. But I think it's also important that that's what was said years ago, and we haven't advanced beyond that, not to any significant degree. In fact, cable modems are still faster than DSL in most cases.
My only question was, did you do anything to check the veracity of that particular statement?
And the answer is no.
He's already answered the question.
Why don't we take a break?
Okay.
Time is 6 p.m. Please state number 4, videotape deposition of Mr. Manny Goldstein.